So today, we are going to listen to the song, The Hype, and we're going to talk about it. And there is a deep and very powerful and very much, I need to know this, you need to know this message tied up and supporting this song. Now, in a rare exception, Tyler Joseph, the guy that wrote the song, he said what this song is about. So I want to read to you an interview he gave a while back. With this song, I wanted to go back to when I was a bit younger, maybe even in grade school. I just want you to understand, this is Tyler saying, I wrote this song to my younger self, and his younger self specifically the age that you are now. This is what Tyler wishes he had known. Lyrically, I am addressing who I was back then and what I wish I would have heard. Now, the hype is kind of talking about the difference between the internal pressure and the external pressure. A lot of the things that I write about come from wrestling with an internal pressure. But there are those external pressures of the world that's around us. And that's what the song addresses. Particularly, it's just a way that, well, it's just an encouragement. It's an encouragement to keep going, to let things roll off of your back that deserve to be put aside. And I think good community, especially when it is safe and when it is accepting. And my God, please, Jesus, let that be what we have here. I think good community, especially when it is safe and accepting, helps us protect ourselves from the hype machine. Let's define the word hype. To promote or publicize a product or an idea intensively, often through exaggeration, or to stimulate, to excite, or to agitate. I like the visual of the agitate. Come here, quick, Kyle, right now, go. To agitate, to be hyped up means to agitate. Like, just, I'm telling you something, Kyle. I love how, like, expressive you are. To agitate, or to swindle, to deceive, or to trick. As I read these words of definement, it's a word, sure it is. Look it up, don't look it up, it's probably not there. As I read this definition, I think of another word. I think of a phrase, I think of an idea called propaganda. It's a military term. To propagandize means information, ideas, or rumors that have been deliberately spread to manipulate a person, group, or movement. To propagandize someone is to potentially attack them by manipulating them into believing something that's not true. It's a military term. So what do you think? Is it possible? Is this generation being hyped or propagandized in any way? Are we being force-fed everywhere we look, ideas and rumors that manipulate not only the way that we think, but the way that we feel? Let me give you an example, a visual of the hype. Check this out.
Okay, picking it up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right at the Intracoastal, and we're in one of these bands. This is about as nasty as it's been. We had some bands like this last night, and then the eyewall this morning, we were not on TV. It was the dark and raucous night at the hotel. And this wind gusting again.
A couple things. If I'm watching the news about a hurricane and the guy can't even stand up and the wind is blowing so hard that literally if he stands, he just blows away. And then behind him, I see two dudes like, this is pretty cool. It's kind of rainy today. Automatically, I'm like, that's a lie. That's a lie. This egg was a lie. Anybody Nacho Libre fan? No? All right. You guys, Nacho! You guys, this was ridiculous, the way this weatherman, and it's been happening a lot on the Weather Channel lately, like they just take something scary and something you should know about, you know, I guess, and they are blowing it out of proportion. They are exaggerating the effects. They are stirring the pot of fear so that you won't turn the channel. They are lying. They are hyping things up. And just know this. If you think that that kind of behavior is just confined to the Weather Channel, you are wrong. You're wrong. It is everywhere. It's in the news. It's on social media. It's on the billboards. This deep exaggeration and emotional manipulation. So many examples are coming to me, but I can't go there right now. Maybe later. So what are these some of the big picture ideas or rumors being promoted by the hype machine. I thought of what might be impacting you guys the most, and here's a couple examples. The hype says, man, worry about everything. Just be afraid of everything. Worry about things that are happening on the other side of the planet that you might never even see the fruit of, but you need to worry about it. You need to stress about it. It needs to keep you up at night. 38 dead in Moscow, fatal arson, storms, Trump's the devil. No, wait, Hillary's, somebody's the devil. You guys, it's just fear, 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 worry, worry, worry. That's what the hype says to us. When I pick up the paper, the headline is, be afraid. However, what does God say about fear? What does he say about worry? Well, he says in Philippians 4, hey, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything? What am I supposed to do with all this anxiety? Pray. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need, step one, and then thank him for all he has done, which changes the way that we think. We move from fear to gratitude. And if you do that, those two simple things, tell God what you need, thank him for all he's done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace, in fact, will guard your heart and your mind, which is the target of the hype. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's good news, you guys. You need that. I need that. What else does the hype say? It says, if it feels good, do it. It doesn't matter what the consequences may or may not be. If it feels good, do it. You're your own God. It's your body. Do whatever you want. Sometimes you have to just stop thinking. And if it feels right, it probably is. So just go with it. That is some stupid advice. That will get you hurt. That'll get you a shot of penicillin. I said it. You guys, that is bad advice. That is the hype. What does God say regarding these kinds of things? He says in 1 Corinthians 6, run. Oh, children, friends, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one. Sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. God doesn't say, if it feels good, just do it. He says, run from sexual sin because it's going to hurt you more than you can imagine. And it does, and it will. What is the hype saying to your generation? It's saying, sexualize everything that you do. Sexualize yourself. Think of yourself only as a sexual being. Take lots of pictures of the beauty and the uniqueness and the wonder that is you, but make sure that you're making a really trashy face that says, rrr. I did it right that time. What does God say? Well, in Ephesians 4, he says, hey, don't go along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless masses. They've refused for so long to just deal with me, to deal with God, that they have lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself, They can't even think straight anymore, feeling no pain. They just let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. That is no life for you. Do you hear the promise there? This crud that you are settling for when you look at, act on, pornography, masturbation, the feeling you have after, that's not for you. I have something so much better for you. Sex is a gift. Enjoy it to its fullest. This thing you're settling for is ruining you. It is ruining your future marriage. Don't go there. I have something better for you. How much do I need to say about this idea of the hype and the ideas that it is force-feeding you guys and me all day, every day when we turn on the television, open social media? You know how you feel after you spend an hour surfing on Instagram or Snapchat, just consumed with, man, everybody's life is better than mine. You know how you feel when this person gets all these likes for this trash picture and you post like a scripture and it's like, freak. You know how you feel when you binge watch television for hours on end afterward, just like empty and like, I'm never going to get that time back and I'm covered in Cheeto dust. You know how you feel when you spend from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. playing video games afterward, particularly violent ones, and you're just like, I feel like I should kill somebody or like just die. You know how it feels. There's nothing good coming out of those behavior. When we plug into the literal hype machine and let it define us, when we dive into the false reality that is literally in our pocket 24 hours a day and let that define us, it leaves us how? It leaves us depressed. It leaves us lonely. It leaves us feeling dead inside. And the long-term effects of living that way, of experience, of exposing ourselves to that day in and day out is just confusion. Like, is this really what life is all about? Oh, no, it is not. But that's how it feels. It leaves us feeling afraid of everything. Man, they're out to get me. We need to build a wall. We need walls on top of walls. It leaves us feeling just desperate. Like, is there anything I can do to get out of this mess? And how did I find myself here? And that's the ultimate goal of the hype, is thinking like that. The hype says, just escape your brokenness at whatever means necessary. Just escape the feelings you don't like. Escape the sadness. Kill yourself. It's so much better when you're just, you know, dead. And it'll make everybody that ever hurt you feel awful, although you won't be around to see it. But it doesn't matter. Just escape your brokenness no matter what. What does God say about that kind of behavior? What does He offer to us? He says, James chapter 4, let your tears come. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before God and He will lift you up. God says about brokenness, bring it on. Let it come. If you need to cry, cry. If you realize I can't, then admit it. Just let it come. I love this version from The Message. It says, hey, quit playing the field. Hit rock bottom and cry your eyes out. Oh, doesn't it? It feels good to cry your eyes out once in a while. I'm a 43-year-old man. I love to cry. I wish I could cry right now. The fun and the games are over. Get serious. Get on your knees before God, because that is the only way that you're going to find yourselves on your feet. Humble yourselves before God. Admit, you know what? I can't break free of this prison. I can't escape the hype. Help me. How do we protect ourselves from the hype? Well, we're going to listen to the song. I want you to pay attention to the lyrics. And if you would, grab your pen and paper and maybe just ask yourself a question as the song begins. But what's my hype? What's the thing that I'm exposing myself to the most that's hurting me the most? Check this out.
Sometimes I feel cold, even paralyzed. My interior world needs to sanitize. I've got to step through or I'll dissipate. I'll record my step through from my basement tapes. Nice to know my No, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can hear my way around. No, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can hear my way around. No, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can hear my way around. No, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can hear my way around. But I can hear my way around. Listen, oh my kind will be on my side. I don't believe I hide.
So there is this thing out there. There's this hype, and it is attacking us. It is attacking our identity. It is presenting this false reality. It is never ending. What's the source? Like, where's it coming from? Who hates us so much that they would be so hell-bent on ruining our understanding of who we are, who God created us to be, who is like committed to driving us to death and destruction, and why? Revelation says in chapter 12, long ago there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels, they fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, but terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing he has little time. Ephesians 6:12, friends, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're not fighting against Mark Zuckerberg or network TV or the actual media people that put all this stuff out, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers that are in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it is Satan who is the god of this world that has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So we have these scriptures and more from this book filled with truth that would have us believe that we are at war since the beginning of time on this planet with an invisible demonic army who has temporary power over this world. It sounds a little far-fetched, especially if you don't believe in Jesus or this book. And if the devil's real, why doesn't he just come out and show himself? Because he's smart. I'm going to quote a couple quotes to you. This guy named Sun Tzu, this amazing Chinese general that lived centuries ago, wrote a book called The Art of War that military commanders the world over still study and learn from today. The first thing I want to read you that Sun wrote is this: the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Makes me think of another quote. The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. How can you fight against him if you can't see him? Sun also wrote, all war is based on deception. All war, we're at war, is based on deception, hype, propaganda. It is the ultimate tool of a crafty enemy. So what do you think? Is it all just a big coincidence that this is happening, that this hype is real, maybe, maybe not, and that it's affecting us in the ways that it is, and it's driving the teenagers in this community to kill themselves faster than any other community in the entire state of Texas? Is it true, possibly, that the devil, the god of this world, is manipulating us through our media? I want to show you have you listen to a radio broadcast from 1965 by a man named Paul Harvey. He didn't know what was going to happen in the future, but he had a gut feeling. Listen to what he says, and you tell me if he's not speaking truth. Check this out.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
You guys, that is the world that we are living in. And we should make no mistake. Every man, every woman, every child ever born on this planet has an enemy. And we are inside the most elaborate, well-structured propaganda machine that the world has ever seen. And its sole focus is to destroy us, to destroy our understanding of who God created us to be and who he is. And that's why I love this song, because it addresses the fact that, yeah, that's going on, and it lists out all these ways that we can combat it. The hype, what do we need to know about it? How do we survive it? Well, step one is to recognize there's a problem. This is real. This situation, this hype, this propaganda exists. And hopefully by now in the sermon, you've done that. But you see in the song where it says, sometimes I feel cold, even paralyzed. And my interior world, my thoughts and my feelings need to sanitize. And I have got to step through. I've got to get out of this or I will dissipate. I will disappear. I will cease to be who God made me to be. The reality is that listening to and then thinking and then believing these lies is eating away at who we really are. Who, after spending an hour online, thinks, I'm a prince? I'm a princess of Jesus. Who, after an hour watching just pornography and smut and just horrible things, just walks away thinking, I am a more than a conqueror in him who loved me. You guys, listening to and believing these lies is stealing and killing and destroying our identity. So step one in surviving the hype, potentially thriving in the hype, is to just recognize it's real and there's somebody behind it and it's affecting me. Step two to survive the hype, investigate. Investigate the problem. He says in the song, I'll record my step through for my basement tapes. I just picture him sitting down and journaling about his problem. I picture him sitting down and writing this song so there's a record of, man, when I'm at my worst, I need to remember that the enemy's behind it. The enemy has something to do, a lot to do with how low I feel right now. I'm going to record my step through so that I can remember. He says in another song that we were gifted with thought. You guys, we need to use our minds and think about our circumstance. We need to do what David did in the Psalms, wherein almost everyone, he just writes down, this is how I feel, this is what's going on, and now I'm going to write out God's truth. I'm going to think of myself the way God sees me. And in an instant, he is in a different place. He has a better understanding. He goes from fear to gratitude. He goes from being desperate and despairing to more than a conqueror. David in the Psalms over and over, just journals, journal entries. This is how I feel. God, what do you say about it? And God answered. Oh, I wish we would be. I long for you guys to be a student ministry of thinkers, of journalers, of processors who don't just let your emotions rule your responses, but think about what's happening. If we trace our feelings back, if we look at the hype and look at how we feel and think maybe there's a connection, here's my challenge to you. What are you looking at that might be feeding your low self-worth, your low opinion, your suicidal tendencies? Are you looking at pornography on a regular basis? Because it is going to destroy you. Looking at pornography, scripturally and scientifically, literally perverts the way that your brain was made to think. It takes me from looking at a woman as a daughter of God and someone who I would like love to know and just making her an object, a thing that only exists to please me. That's perverted, that's messed up, that will destroy you. It makes me think, oh, I'll be complimenting her if I say, send me a picture of yourself with no clothes on. It's just about the lowest thing that you could ask of somebody. Send me the most raw and vulnerable piece of you. And you know what? If you upset me, I'm going to share it with my friends. It is perverted. It is wrong. It is destructive. And ladies, you are better than that. Say no to that. Looking at pornography will pervert the way that you think. Not only about the opposite sex, the same sex, but yourself, because you know how you feel after. Gross, low, small. The enemy is in it. You guys, it will also ruin your marriage before it starts. Some of you, maybe only a couple years from marriage, some of you from 5 or 10 years until you get married, but looking at pornography now will affect your marriage then, because you'll be there with your wife or your husband on your wedding night, and you'll have this wrong understanding of what's supposed to happen. God made sex to be good. Don't screw it up. What else? Are you guys looking at movies and magazines to tell you what you should look like and how your body should be shaped? Because that's hogwash. Insert stronger word here. You guys, you can't look at the movies to say, this is what you should look like. This is what real life is. Because it's all fantasy. Those people that have those bodies, these days they don't even have to work very hard for them because it's just photoshopped after the fact. But ladies and gentlemen, you are beautiful, unique, and fantastic right now just as you are. Do not let these magazine covers tell you how you should look. Because to arrive at that point is just beating up your body for some what? Some vanity? And it doesn't satisfy. Thank you very much. I don't know where I came from, but I'll take it. Are you listening to the hype and just letting it tell you that you absolutely will not be happy in this life unless you're rich. And that is a problem in this community. I lived under that for years, well into my 20s, possibly into my 30s, just thinking, if I'm not rich, I won't be happy. If I don't have everything this guy has, I'm not going to be satisfied. You guys, BS. That's a lie. God himself says, man, the meek shall inherit the earth. The poor, that's who I'm close to. God says, don't pursue stuff that's not going to make you happy. And yet you are in a school system and you are in a community that is like, if you don't do your best, you're nothing. Oh, I slap a fool who says that to one of you guys. That's not true. The hype says that you have to be perfect in this community just to be okay. You got to be so perfect in this community just to be average. Oh, I hate that. I hate the stress. I hate the expectation that you are buried underneath. Oh, students, just acknowledge, you know what? I just want to be me. I want to be a mechanic. I just want to paint. I just want to dance. I just want to be who I am. You guys, speak up for yourself. Stand up for yourself. Be yourselves. Don't be what they want you to be. Be who God made you to be. If we're surrounded by all these lies, the only regular antidote that we can apply to ourselves is to immerse ourselves in truth. And none of you have better access to that kind of truth than this book that you can pick up at any point, any day, whenever you feel like it. This book, every single word is true. If we're surrounded by lies, hours and hours of our day pummeling us with lies and false expectations and exaggeration, 5 minutes of straight truth will purify you, will sanitize you. Use this book. Oh man, God never talks to me. I don't understand scripture. This book, defined in Hebrew, is crying out. The word for this book in Hebrew, mikra, crying out. God is literally crying out to speak truth to you. Please read this. 10 or 15 minutes a day in the morning will change everything for you. If you don't have one of these, I got a few hundred right there on those shelves. Grab one on your way out and use this book. Process your feelings, investigate the hype, and then apply truth and see if God doesn't change the way that you think. The Bible says of itself in Hebrews 4, the word of God is alive. It is moving. It is sharper than a double-edged sword, piercing the divide between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. The Bible exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. If you don't know what's true when you read this book, it cuts into you in the most wonderful way possible and says, this is true and this is false. You got questions about your life, about your feelings, about your future? Read this book and it will help you know this is true and that's false. I'm going this way. Step 3, how do we survive the hype? Reject it. Reject the hype. The song says, it's nice to know that my kind, my people, will be on my side. I don't believe the hype. And you know you're a terrible sight, but you're going to be just fine. Just don't believe the hype. Reject the lies. Reject it. Again, like David in the Psalms, declaring truth over himself. I love reading the Psalms when David's basically just telling himself, David, like, get yourself together. Stop listening to what the enemy is saying. Stop being scared of what your friends think. Just reject it. And if you need to self-talk yourself into a place, man, that's biblical. David did it every single psalm. David, I can do this. Jesus, you're on my side. And then by the end, he just goes out and does it. He starts off in the lowest of lows, and then he talks to himself, he speaks truth to himself, and he goes out believing truth instead of the lie, and everything is different. The Bible, again, Proverbs 25, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. And if you just believe in everything you hear, if you're letting your emotions guide all your decisions, you and I, when we do that, are like a city, this big, beautiful, life-giving thing, with broken down walls, and the enemy's just coming through, and he's stealing from us, and he's robbing from us, and he's destroying us. Use that self-control God gave you. Reject the hype. Say no. Make decisions based on thoughts, not feelings. How do we survive the hype? Number 4 piece of good news that we see in this song, just don't repeat it. Reject it, but also don't repeat it. Yeah, they might be talking behind your head, behind your back, but your exterior world can step off. Instead, gossip is one of the most disgusting personal forms of the hype. that you can expose yourself to, that you can hurt yourself in. James chapter 3 says, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. You want to stop getting burned by the hype in your friendships, man? Just step back from the gossip. Don't repeat it. When you repeat it, it becomes that much more real. The hype, just like a fire, needs to be fed. And when we gossip, when we hear a rumor and repeat it, we're feeding it. So just step back. Some of you, I can't say much about this, but just hear me. Some of you, the best thing you can do out of this sermon is to just take a week or so fast from social media. Just step back and just see if a week from now you don't feel better, more confident, more secure in who you are if you just step away from social media for 1 week. Or if you've got some friendships that every time you're there, you walk away having done something stupid or you feel ugly, just take a break. Don't shun them. They're not the problem, but just step back and see if 1 week without that negativity in your life doesn't make you feel more whole and better about yourself. Establish some healthy boundaries for yourself. Protect what God has given you. Step 5, how do we survive the hype? Surround yourself. Surround yourself with better friends, with good friends. Really, the best way I can say, surround yourself with some real friends. It might take some friends and a warmer shirt, but you do not get thick skin without getting burnt. I love that. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I think he's quoting it. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And if one person falls, the other person can reach out and help them up. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and they can be defeated. But two standing back to back can conquer. Do you have friends who will pick you up when you fall down? Because you need them and you deserve them. And if you don't have them, get some. And I think I'm looking in this room and see a bunch of them. Do you have friends who would literally give you the shirt off your for their back if you needed it? Because if you don't, you need them. You deserve them. And you should be that person to your friends. Do you have friends who will fight for you when no one else will? Because those are the kind of relationship that God said, I want you to have. If you don't have friends like that, you need to find some. And again, I'm looking around this room and I see a lot of them. Proverbs 27, 5 through 6. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds inflicted by the correction of a friend prove that he is faithful. And the abundant kisses of an enemy show his lies. Do you have a friend in your life, at least one who will say the hard thing when you really need to hear it? Do you have a friend in your life who will speak the truth to you no matter what, but in love? Do you have a friend in your life that will challenge you to be the best possible version of yourself? Or have you intentionally or accidentally surrounded yourself with just a bunch of butt kissers that just tell you what you need to hear? You deserve a friend that will tell you the truth, even when it's hard. You deserve a friend that is willing to hurt you to help you. And you definitely need to be that kind of friend of the people in your life. If you want the hype to have less daily power over you, surround yourself with people who will really love you, warts and all. How do we survive the hype? Last point, pray. You should pray. You should talk to God about it. You can do that journaling. You can do that with multiple people. You can do it all by yourself. Of all the lines in this song, this one, when the first time I heard it, I was like, I know exactly the scripture he's talking about when he says, I don't know which way I'm going, but I can hear my way around. Picture yourself with your eyes closed. You don't know which way you're going, but you can hear your way around. Isaiah 30 says, you will see your teacher with your own eyes. Your own ears will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way that you should go, whether to the right or to the left. If you don't know which way to go, if you don't know what's true or false, close your eyes, whisper a prayer, and ask the Lord, Father, right or left, and he will answer you. He will respond to you. He is waiting for you to ask the question. I'm going to close with a story about my son, because he's awesome. Wyatt James, my 7-year-old boy. Here's a picture of him from this past weekend. I go out and sit with the Lord, whether at Starbucks or the back porch with a fire, almost every day. Always the days that I make it are better days. And you know, if you've been around for a while, that I always go and sit with the Lord around the end / beginning of a new year, and I ask him for a verse to guide my year. And then I put it right on my skin because I'm stupid and I don't want to forget it. And in a couple weeks, I'm going to have a brand new one right here. And I sat down with the Lord last weekend and I asked him, what do you want me to work on in 2019? Give me something that I can keep in front of me all year that will make me grow more into the person you created me to be, that will help me recognize who you are on a regular basis, etc. And my son comes out as I'm asking that question. And I've just gotten the verse, so I'm really like wanting to get into it. But I stopped everything because he said, can I pray with you? Can I ask God what he wants for me for 2019? And I'm like, heck yeah, buddy. And so I tell him what to say, and he just prays to the Lord right there in his little red jacket in his chair after he goes to get his pirate journal. God, what do you want me to work on in 2019? And then he closes his eyes, and I'm just like, and he just sits there for a long time. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to have my quiet time. He's thinking about Legos or something. And I start writing my prayers, and I start processing my own scripture, and then he just reaches out, he grabs me, and he goes, Dad, I heard Jesus. And I'm like, what did he say? He said, I want to make sure I say this correctly, Catalina is the best. Does that make sense to any of you? It makes a lot of sense to me. God, what do you want me to work on in 2019, says my 7-year-old boy. And God responds, Catalina is the best. Now consider the ingredients of the moment here. Wyatt has a cousin named Catalina who's a couple years younger than him. And that kid can push my kid's buttons like nobody else. Those two together are like oil and water. Every time they get together, there's a scrap, there's a bloody nose, they're screaming, somebody gets a spanking or a timeout. It just does not go well, and he sees her on a regular basis. Catalina is the bane of my son's existence in his mind. And here's how it works. Wyatt is believing his own hype. Wyatt, hearing we're going to go and see Catalina at grandma's house, thinks seeing Catalina is going to go bad. And then Wyatt declares to the room that seeing Catalina is going to go bad. And then Wyatt just believes that seeing Catalina is going to go bad. So what do you think happens when he sees Catalina? It goes horrible because he has hyped himself out. The worst possible voice that you could ever hear hype from is your own. Because that means the lie is already in you and you are part of perpetuating it. So for God to say to Wyatt in response to him asking, what's the main thing I can work on this year? For him to say Catalina is the best is transformative, life-giving, wonderful. And again, the ingredients of the moment. Wyatt is realizing there's a problem. He decides to do something about it. He's with his friend. He's got his Bible. He's got his journal. And he prays, and everything changes for him. My son knew that word was from the Lord so confidently that on his own, no coaching from dad, he just starts making a list. What are you doing, buddy? I'm writing all the things that I love about Catalina. And then, as he just replaces his fear and anxiety about his cousin with gratitude for the beautiful things about her, he decides, I'm going to take it a step further. He starts writing out all the ugly feelings in himself that he feels, that he hates in himself about his cousin. And then he says, can I burn this so God will take it away? And I'm like, yeah, you can, buddy. And I ask him after, how do you feel? And he goes, I feel so good. And he just starts praying out loud. God, would you please help me be more obedient? I'm like, yeah, do that. God, would you please give me more self-control? Do that. He is so energized by what God starts speaking to him, he can't stop praying. His last prayer of our afternoon together, Daddy, will you pray for me that when I go to sleep tonight that Jesus will keep talking to me because I don't want to stop. all of that from just sitting down with a friend and truth, recognizing there's a problem and deciding, I'm going to do something about this. You guys, you have spots in your life where you do not know what to do, where to go, what's true, what's false. Sit down with the Lord today and pray and ask, what do you want me to work on in 2019? He will respond to you, especially if you ask that question with this book close by. All right. All that to say, we don't always know what to do. We don't even always know what the problem is. But when we pray, God will tell you. You will hear him say, this is the way to go. That's good news, you guys. Cling to that. Please use that. And you can take the stage. Again, I started the sermon off with a quote. Tyler saying, lyrically, I am addressing who I was back then and what I wish I would have heard. Well, you heard it. You just heard what he said as a little boy, as a little girl, as someone your age. I wish somebody had said that to me, that, man, I got an enemy, and he's out to get me, and he's full of lies, and everything I'm looking at, there's lies everywhere, and that I need truth, and I need good friends. So you no longer have an excuse. You need to use these things. God's given you this community to take advantage of. He's given you small groups on Wednesdays. He's given you this book that if you don't own one, please take one as you leave so that you can have truth to combat the lies. What did he wish he would have heard? That you're under attack and that your depression, and I know you guys are feeling depressed, and that your loneliness, and I know some of you are desperately lonely, that your hopelessness, that's not your fault. That's not all you. You are being attacked. You are being assaulted. You are being lied to 24/7. So recognize that you need truth. Start reading truth. Start actively doing whatever you need to do to reject the lies. Stop gossiping and repeating the lies so they won't take root in you. Spend more time with people who love you and who love truth. And man, ask for help. Ask for some help from the God of truth. I have been praying for us this semester, as you know, and that I feel and you know that we have been in a season of brokenness. And I know from your prayer requests week in and week out that most of your brokenness stems from two things, insecurity and comparison. You guys, those are the fruits of listening to the hype. They are directly connected. That insecurity that's destroying you, that loneliness, that sense of comparison, that is because the hype is winning. Do something about it. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with great fear and trembling because God is energizing you so that you will desire and do what pleases him. The desire to do God's will comes from a realization that I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I need a change. And I believe that God is going to begin that change on a dramatic, supernatural level at Freedom Weekend. All the things that we just talked about, we're going to live that out for 36 hours together at Freedom Weekend. If you don't know how to start all of this, if you don't really trust that it works, sign up and come to Freedom Weekend. You will walk away changed. We're going to respond to what we've heard today. You can bring the tithe. You can take communion. You got prayer partners in the back. You can worship, but I encourage you to take one of those pieces of paper and just write a prayer to Jesus. And here's all you need to do. Just ask the Lord, what's my hype? What am I believing that's hurting me? And just own it, and then just, if nothing else, just say, God, please help me. God, please help me with this today. And if you want us to pray for you by name, feel free to write your names on those prayer cards. They're private. It's just between us. But if you want us to know, yeah, I am struggling with that, let us know. You guys can start leaving your names on those prayer tags every week. I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to respond, because I went long, but I don't care. This is important. I pray you do it. Bow your heads with me. Jesus, as our students, as we ask ourselves and ask you, what is the hype I'm listening to? What's the source of the thing that's hurting me the most in my mind and my heart? What is preventing me from really holding on to my salvation and walking in power? Speak clearly. As a voice right behind us, tell us, you need to go right. You need to go left. This is what is hurting you. Please help my friends. Please help me. Thank you for opening our eyes this morning. We are at war. Without you, we lose, but with you, we win. So come and be victorious in this room this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Respond as you feel led.